I right?
No.
They have no loyalty to employees.
I didn't say that at all.
Why would you assume it's Jamie Cooley?
I did not say that. Do not put words in my mouth.
You just said it.
I listed a bunch of people.
But among them was Jamie. She was the second one. Jamie Cooley was the second
person. She was like the fourth one.
Uh-huh. Who were the three before that? I don't remember. No. We got it. No, you can't
start the show like that and then not tell me. That's just wrong.
It would leave her more time to kiss me, though. You know, because she's the phone booth and the hey. Should I explain that for people who are not longtime listeners?
Yes, please.
No, we should just move forward.
I stopped referring to her as Portland's most kissable DJ, though, because that was just awkward and creepy. It was sort of, I'm looking in your window late at night while you change, kind of creepy. Not that I would do that. This is getting no better. Let's just go back to playing Wing. It's 4 minutes and 14 seconds after the hour of 11, and this is the month of January in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by and making it part of your listening day. We're live from beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon, and so forth.
It's okay, come on!
Come on! I made a huge mistake.
All right, will you at least tell me the person that it's dealing with?
Well, hold on. Let me do the setup here, and then we'll talk. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You'd like to be part of today's program. Electronically speaking, I guess it is electronic, even though it's over the phone. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You'd like to engage with us via the computer. You can do that as well with the kooky email. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your what have you. What do you mean? Oh, did I not say the ostentatious? Blah, blah, blah. You know where we are.
I can't remember any of that stuff. Remember that day I had to sign the show and I couldn't remember how the show opened?
Tim was trying to do. You say a lot of stuff there.
I don't remember. When are you talking about?
When you were out of the office.
Oh, like 2 weeks ago?
What? I had to open up the show because we were doing live segments and I couldn't remember how it was done.
Did you try to do the whole opening segment with the whole rap?
I couldn't even get the first sentence down.
Can anybody here do, everybody knows that I can do the first Williams thing. Can anybody here do any other talk show opening all the way through? Can you do the Likas opening all the way through?
I used to be able to. I have to hear the music. Give me the beginning.
All right, hold up. Well,
give me the first thing that he says.
From Los Angeles. It's the Tom Leica Show. And now, here he is. Tom Leica.
I can't do the thank you, and neither can he anymore. Tom Leica Show.
That's a mean thing to say.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you know,
it's not like people can't tell.
Well, you know what it is? You had asked about that. You'd asked about the graveliness of his voice.
That he has some really sad disease, I'm going to feel bad.
No. Somebody reminded me of this, that he did explain why his voice had gotten raspy. I completely forgot to tell you about it. Because it's because of all that. Do you remember when he had to have his entire house?
Black mold, like 3 years ago?
The black mold. That's totally what it was. And Tim and I were talking about that a while back, actually, because the same thing had happened to Ed McMahon.
All right. Thank you for tuning into the Tom Leica Show. This is America's talk radio program.
You already blown it.
Damn it. What is it?
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Leica Show. Oh, no. This is it. This is where we get together to talk about the issues you really care about.
It's a different kind of a talk radio program.
Not hosted by a right-wing wacko.
The show that is not hosted by a right-wing wacko or a convicted felon, no!
Did you notice they didn't say right-wing wacko at the listener party?
I am your host. Really?
Yeah, he just cut it out. I noticed that. It was very strange.
I got nothing.
This is awkward.
No, there was something. There was a thing on. I think it was on his website, actually. It was on. Because somebody had. You had mentioned it, and somebody had asked me a couple weeks ago. They're like, well, Tom's voice is real raspy. And they're like, what's up with that? But there was a thing on his website that said that I guess somebody else had asked him recently. He'd done a whole thing about it. It's like, hey, yeah, I had all the black mold. He's like, my voice just never came back. He just never came back from that. So. I can't do. Oh, yeah, from the cockpit. I forgot that, too. No, I can't. I used to be able to do that one all the way through. And, you know, like I said, the Bruce Williams one I can do. I used to be able to do the I used to be able to do the Rush Limbaugh one all the way through, but then he started changing it. Rush's used to be the same every day, and then he altered it. Because, God, let's see. Because it was like a, from, I can't even remember it now, because now I'm getting his show open combined with, I'm getting those confused with his resets, which is where he does the, from the Attila the Hun chair, the glorious golden, and is the EIB and the prestige. This is interesting to no one but us. It's not even interesting to me anymore. We're done. It quit being interesting like 90 seconds ago. You know, this all started when you distracted me by talking about Jamie Cooley right before the beginning of the show.
Well, you're the one who told me that you received a memo about something that you...
That is it! You know, what really caused me to be distracted was when Scotty typed on the screen that I forgot to say the plushly pointy and not overly ostentatious. Thank you, sir. Yes, I did. Yeah, I know the Wing song needs bagpipes. Yeah. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like it. So shake your head at me. It's Rick at RickEverson.com. You may be interested to know that Sarah Dillon said this right before the show today. Sarah's quote of the day for Tuesday. Quote, it's okay. It's my DNA. End quote. Yeah. Bam. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like.
You almost made me choke.
Little trouble there?
Damn it, I was hoping you didn't hear that.
Oh, no. Rick Emerson hears all. He sees all. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com if you would like to email us today. By God, by... We'll talk about the thing here in a second.
Okay.
Well, because we got Aaron, and Aaron has a real job. I don't want to get him in trouble. Let's welcome that.
Hold me. Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
I think McMahon, like, wrote some whole book about how that black mold almost killed him. Ed McMahon's like 150. You don't. He's in a precarious physical state at all times anyway. You see, Ed McMahon, he's got that same thing now where it's just like a... I mean, that guy was... Man, he's 1 foot in the grave for like the last 35. Ed McMahon only still lives because he's managed to pickle himself over the last four decades. He's already preserved.
Yeah, I hope I don't have black mold in any of my rentals.
Man, well, you know, here's the thing is, after Tom did that show, he did like a whole, like 2-3 days about it. Mm-hmm. Because he'd been gone for a long time, and then he came and he was talking about how they had this strip, and he talked about how they stripped out the baseboard of his house, and there was just like inches and inches of thick, furry black mold behind there. And he was talking, he's like, he said he had this cough and this like nagging throat thing and this lung thing that would never go away.
I had the black mold in my apartment, not under everything, but underneath the... like my TV stand. It had this little pocket. I didn't really see there. And so I was moving everything out of my house, lifted it up. It was so wrong. Well, it was furry. That was exactly what it was. It wasn't like moth. It was like big pieces
like
of
hair.
Black fur.
It was
yeah.
Like carpet.
With yeah. Spiders crawling on it.
Yeah.
I still see it in my mind.
Oh, big green spiders with googly eyes. Well, you know, after Tom did that show about the black mold, I swear, this is when I was unemployed. I swear to Christ, I went through my bathroom with a toothbrush. And I cleaned my bathroom ceiling, walls, floor, and, like, crevasses with a toothbrush and bleach.
You call this clean?
That's how... well done. That's how bored and unemployed I was. Maybe I'll clean the whole bathroom with a toothbrush. That's like one of those things that guys do when they're all high in cocaine. I'm going to go out front and wash each blade of grass individually with a soft cloth. Aaron Geek in the City, Duran joining us now. Hello, sir.
I think he lost interest.
Oh, come on. Are you kidding me? Aaron. I'm going to put this phone on hold. I'm going to pick it back up again. Yeah, is he there? Scotty's picking it up by the... Scotty's picking it up. Okay, let's try this again. Aaron Geek in the City, Duran.
Why, this is a rather curious situation.
Just black mold in the control board. I know, Scotty's typing the screen. He's there, really. Scotty's typing pot up phone. Yes, Sarah, pot up the phone.
Watch it, Scotty.
Yes, Sarah, get the big red on button, Sarah, dumb girl.
I'd like to see Scotty come in and try and run the board for a day.
Scotty, why don't you come in and fix the problem? This is a dumb question, but if you just switch the AB things back and forth because they get that. I know,
I
don't mean to be Scotty about it, but I'm just axing.
There could be black mold inside.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to eat your bones. It's going to kill you. Well, okay. Thanks, Aaron. I appreciate that. God bless you. Well done. That's Aaron Geek in the City, Duran, ladies and gentlemen. Well,
was very enlightening.
Yes, it was. It was especially entertaining. I wonder if he can hear me at those moments. That's the thing I wonder about, is whether he can hear us and we're just not able to hear him. All right. Well, in any event, well, I suppose you'll call back or not. Doesn't really matter. It's 5:03. The whole show is we're already 18 minutes behind. It's 5:03. Let me just answer this, Scotty. Don't touch this. Let me just answer it directly. No touching. Let's welcome now to the show, Aaron Geek in the City Duran. Genius.
Well,
best show ever. Fantastic. That's wonderful. Excellent. Yeah, I'm just gonna. Scotty, hold on, if we can just,
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please, summon him to the studio. Would you like to tell Sarah exactly what she's doing wrong? You were all big and manly.
Why don't you come over and put
me out on
the board?
I would like to tell you I'm a team player.
God.
I am.
Would you like to repeat your instruction to Sarah that she, quote, pot up the phone?
Well, these were just suggestions, of course.
These were suggestions.
They can be ignored, as they always are.
They were. All right.
Maybe we can hear all about them in the suburban perspective.
Are you able to talk to Aaron on the bottom bank over there? If you pick it up over there.
Aaron? Hey, yeah, I can talk to him.
All right, okay. So, Scotty?
Yes.
Your job is now to go over there and to convey what Aaron says.
Okay.
To the microphone. Okay, so go over there and use Sarah's microphone.
You.
And we will have you convey Aaron's thoughts to me over the microphone. All right.
Do you want me to sound like him?
Yes.
No, I can't do
that. No, do your impression of what you think Aaron sounds like. All right.
Yeah, Scotty, I...
Hi.
Wait a second, what did you say? I would love to hear what I sound like.
Yes. This is so confusing. I don't know what's going on. My brain is folding in on itself.
Here we go, dude. Are you ready for this? So you can hear Rick, right? How can you not hear Rick?
This is like talking to Marley Matlin through an interpreter. Hi, Aaron, how are you?
Hi, Aaron, how are you? Oh, he can hear you. Sorry. I'm playing two roles now. Okay,
this is just like when Kennedy talked to Khrushchev at the UN.
I'm only supposed to be Aaron, not Rick. Sorry, we'll do that again. We need a replay on that.
I don't understand what's going on.
You want to say something?
Who are you talking to?
Who are you talking to, Scotty?
Ah! Okay. Here's the thing. Just to have Aaron listen. Is he able to hear me?
Yes.
Are you answering as you or as Aaron now? I don't understand.
Yes.
Are you answering for Aaron?
I am just repeating what Aaron says.
Okay.
From now on, I'm not going to be Scotty J.
The man.
You're like Whoopi Goldberg in Ghost.
Totally.
Give over your body, Scotty.
The man you knew as Malcolm X is no more. All right. Okay. I swear to God, I can feel my brain developing new nodes as I try to process this whole thing. All right.
So should there be questions and answers?
I honestly don't know what's going on. All right, here's what we're going to get to today, I say, knowing that none of this will happen. Let's see. Oh, will Lisa Goddard ever reveal exactly what was causing her to be so tense and awkward yesterday during our exchange? We will find out what's going on with the internal drama at CNN. Do you think, Sarah, will we? Did you ask Richard about that at all? About the CNN drama? Well, I don't know. Who knows? All right.
Rick, no.
Okay.
It's their thing.
I'm just saying. We will answer the magical question, what the hell is Scotty J thinking today? We will have the top five most overlooked rock acts as regards the Rock and Hall of Fame that are not Kiss. What else do we have today? CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will talk to us about Steve Jobs' latest gambit to take over the world. Dennis Pitzenbarger from The Fuel Show will be here. And we may have another exciting edition of The Suburban Perspective with your pal, Scotty J. That's what we've got. And where am I at push-up-wise, Aaron?
Chris said you're at three.
Three.
Were you adding the vocal crack for effect, or was that...
Is that the Tom Likas?
Is that just the way you're speaking today? You know, I was talking to you,
That's
Scotty.
The way I'm speaking.
Okay,
God, I hate you, Scotty.
I think we've discovered an exciting new game. No, if he has to repeat everything Aaron says... If he has to repeat everything Aaron says... Aaron, say this. Say, I am the lamest.
It's like having the urban mind created through the suburban mind. You know what? That's way too much information for Scotty J. I can't even barely repeat that. Scotty J shouldn't talk in the third person.
Say this, Aaron. Say, I am the world's lamest white man.
There's a train blocking my view in front of me. Something like that.
This is extremely confusing.
This is really either the greatest radio segment ever or the worst thing that's ever happened.
I'm just glad it's in English. This is Scotty J talking right now. That's all I can say. I couldn't translate a different language.
You mean you're glad it's in English?
Okay, Aaron's saying I'm not Scotty. So.
Okay, we're done. We're done. We're finished. We're done. That whole segment
that was
over.
A wonderful segment.
Thank you, Aaron. And good pleasant day to you, sir. Maybe you're glad it's in English.
All right.
You know, Aaron has relatives that can have you killed.
All right.
Act into dog food containers. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Joined today as Are We Always by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. I feel like we've already packed like four shows worth of content just into this first 20 minutes.
Spine tingling excitement.
Yes, Tim and I really were on the edge of our seats.
It really was fantastic. Oh, God. And by fantastic, I mean confusing and awkward and terrible. How are things? How's life?
Good.
Okay.
This is good. I'm really curious about that email that you got, though.
Oh, yeah. No, we'll talk about that here in just a second. I received... Well, let me check my phone. No, there's still nothing. I asked for clarification on this. We'll talk about that
well,
in
has
just
this,
a second.
Has this occurrence already happened?
I'll have to review. No one knows what we're talking about yet, so I'll discuss it in just a second. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, I can add a little clarity to the program here. You are a bleeping liar, bellows Rosie O'Donnell to Barbara Walters as a backstage catfight rages out of control. Donald Trump, not able to get any more TV time, now starts writing scathing letters to Rosie. Hillary Swank has a new fella in her life. Paris Hilton wishes to become a serious actress, and 41% of the American public want Whitney and not Britney to rebound.
Excellent. So we got that. As we'll talk to... Are you looking ahead for the... Are you trying to discern
I'm
what I'm
trying,
talking?
Yes.
Well, see, here's the thing. Let's talk about a couple of things. So I'm going to be very circumspect about this.
We're not going to be gossip mongers?
No. We're going to be gossip mongers. Okay. I just have to be very circumspect about the way in which I do it. So,
who's involved?
A former employer of ours... There were...
Which could be several.
Could be any number of people,
that's
really.
That's true.
Pretty much running out of them.
I received some internal correspondence from our friends. And by friends, I mean that company that fired us.
We have friends in low places.
Well, that's only because they haven't been evicted quite yet. So I received some internal correspondence from that company. And the thing is, I am unclear about because this correspondence was given to me along with some requests for, you know, discretion and blah 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 from the sender.
Right.
You know, like this is like
which you're honoring.
It's like when somebody at a tobacco company turns in some document called like how to market to fetuses or whatever, and they're like, you didn't get this from me. But and so here's the thing is. I am unclear, though, about whether the request for discretion refers simply and obviously to the identity of the person, which obviously we would not ever reveal, or if it actually refers to the contents as well. In other words,
see, and they know you well enough. Anyone who writes you,
they're a combination of Woodward and Bernstein.
If they send it to you right before the show. Like, you can keep them anonymous, but if the news is going to happen anyway, you might as well just say it.
Well, see, the thing is, there's news, and then there's the actual internal ruminations about the news. In other words, in radio, there are things that happen, there are events that happen. But this correspondence which was given to me is actually reflective of the company's thoughts on this change that is happening. And so that's my thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Am I being too vague? Is this making
sense? You're being really vague. No, I wish that you'd just come out and say it.
No, but I can't. But in other words, am I being... does everybody understand the nature of my dilemma here?
Yes.
That there's a thing that happened at the company, at the company that used to employ us. There's a thing that happened. There's a change, I believe, that has been made or is being made. And I have some correspondence from inside the company about that change. And so my question is, I'm unclear about whether I'm simply supposed to be discreet in terms of the person that gave this to me or whether I'm supposed to be discreet about the actual contents. I am inclined to think that because it was given to me, it's really only about the name. How would you interpret? How would you interpret this? This says, you didn't see this from me.
Okay.
That being said, knowing I can count on your discretion, I thought you might enjoy seeing this.
Oh, that's referring to keeping them anonymous.
Really?
Absolutely.
You don't think it's about the content?
No, spit it out.
Why would they give you golden content?
Oh my God, Tim is full on like, yeah, you really are both Dustin Hoffman and Robert Redford. Now we know P is Porter. Now M is Mac. Tell us, was it G Gordon? I swear to God, I'll beat you. You're totally gonna take me like in the parking garage and beat me with a hose until I spit it out. All right, well. I don't have time to do it now, so we'll have to do it.
Oh, there's plenty of time.
let's make time.
You're all with the passive friend. Make time, conciliary.
Why don't you give us two fake circumstances and one real one? You can tell us the real one after the break.
Oh, like a multiple choice.
Exactly.
It's just like that thing about...
Like with Aaron and his...
That thing about Aaron and his sister. Yeah. I'm sorry.
This is the biggest program ever put on.
So I'm going to read this one more time. Let's see if we all still feel the same way about this of opening.
Yeah, I'm not changing. So,
don't go changing.
And let me just say, by the way, that I have messaged and emailed the person who gave this to me.
People know you. They're aware that you have a show that comes on at 11.
I'm just saying, and I asked for clarification on what the discretion was referring to, whether it was simply their identity or whether it was about the actual content, and I received nothing back. I received no response. So I'm left to my own devices here. The subject line, not the subject line, but the opening sentence of the email is, you didn't see this from me. That being said, and knowing I can count on your discretion, I thought you might enjoy seeing
this. Because you've read things from other anonymous sources before, and you've never, said who you got them from.
So it is your belief that I can read this.
I honestly believe that you could.
You don't really care, do you? You don't care who you destroy, Sarah Dillon. You have no soul. All right. Well, we have to break though because Lisa Goddard's going to be coming on.
Oh darn!
And then we'll no, we'll get to it later. I swear to God, we'll break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Lisa Goddard, and then we will have this correspondence.
Well, all right.
Everybody. Tim is heartbroken. I haven't even had time to get to this thing about furries. Anyway, it's 503-75. That's karma. There comes the mold. Here comes the science and the mold. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. We will continue after this. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. It's okay. It's my DNA. Coming up at noon, we have the best thing you've ever said. Coming up at noon is the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Later on, we got CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop. CNN Radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, we hope. I mean, she'll certainly be calling. Look, in a worst case scenario, admittedly, worst case in this case being worse than in most worst cases. We'll just have Scotty J come in and he'll just convey Lisa Goddard's thoughts along to us.
Can we have him talk about Bush and Iraq?
Seriously. So we got that, and then Dennis Pitzenbarger is going to be in the studio later on as well as the top five. We're here with engineer Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy, how do you feel about those phones?
I feel they're about 95%.
If somebody were to call right now, what are the odds that I'd actually be able to speak to them and they'd be able to hear me?
Well, judging from your cough, I don't think you'd be able to.
There's no need to be sharp about these things. If somebody were actually to call the phones, would they work properly?
Yeah, Yeah. I mean, I,
you don't you don't know, do you?
Sure.
You actually, you don't, you have no idea.
Do you want me to call you?
Should we have, should we, well, because we've sort of told people not to call. Should we
okay,
have somebody
yeah,
test
let me,
it?
Let me
well,
call
if you have something to buy, sell, swap, or give away, please call us right now.
You have
firearms or babysitting, please.
I have, I got here a lime green sofa. Now, it's got a little bit of staining on this end, but it's
a little
is
bit
it you? Should I
yeah,
pick up the
sure
hotline?
Yeah.
Hello, Rick Emerson Program.
I can hear you.
Fantastic.
Can you hear me? Okay.
It takes good so little to make us happy. Thank you, Jerry.
I got to trade a couple of Forerunners front seats.
Oh, you bastard. Okay. It takes so little to make. The bar is set so low for happiness at this radio station. You know, every day that we don't get fired, every day that the phones start working at some point during the doesn't have to be right away.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be right at the beginning. As long as the phones work at some point.
Could be worse. We could be playing music here.
All right. Are you going to read the email?
Could be playing oldies.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Here, there's quite a demand for that.
Not enough. Just not enough. Okay, so I'll pick a few sentences out of this, because it's too long, and...
Will these be complete sentences?
Yeah, they will be complete sentences, but the whole thing is just too long to read, it kind of goes on and on and on. And again, I will in no way identify the source of this, but apparently this is from our former employers. Those of you who are, not even long, any of you have been the last couple of years, we were on the frequency.
We were
of
on
nine.
Two frequencies. We had a good one.
No, we
and took away and put slop on there.
It's the exciting new slop format. Well, never mind.
Then they had remotes that nobody went to.
Instead of moving, it's just slopping. We're slopping anything on there. Oh, God, somebody sent me... Can I just tell you this? Somebody sent me the greatest, and by greatest, I mean great because it wasn't us, photographed the other day, and I'm pretty sure it was... I think it was like at a place where people are ostensibly supposed to be. It was like at a mall. And somebody had gone out there, and there was a kissing vehicle out there. And I swear to God, it was like the lonely... some promotions person I didn't even recognize. Some guy working for free, undoubtedly. Some guy working for bags of goldfish crackers at Intercom. And it was a kissing vehicle at a mall. And I swear to God, it was just him standing there. And then there was like one really old guy that was just leaning against the... Wasn't even talking. Just standing there, just leaning against the station vehicle for support to keep from falling over. And then just acres and acres of nothingness in this parking lot. I don't know where they were. I don't know what the ostensible reason for the remote was or for the being out there. But man, they were in some huge parking lot where if there's nobody there, it just looks unbelievably empty. And so it was the kissing vehicle right in the middle of the parking lot. One tired and poor looking promotions person, one old man leaning against the vehicle for support, and then no one. I mean, if you looked at the photograph long enough, you could kind of hear the sound. So, anyway, so we used to be on 9:10, and then we were asked to leave because they apparently felt that it was...
We weren't asked to.
We were told we were leaving because apparently oldies were the...
I remember a choice.
Oldies were the way I was...
Of course,
asked,
they didn't tell us.
You know,
I found out by email.
Here's what I was asked. I was asked to kindly get the hell out of the building within 24 hours. You were told. I called you.
No, you didn't call me.
I swear to God, I called you.
You called me.
I didn't call you.
I got a call 2 days later from the program director telling me what I already knew with a chuckle.
That's not true. I totally called you.
No, you didn't.
Why would I not have called? Well, I wasn't.
Well, you weren't the program director.
I wasn't the program director, but I swear to God, I thought we all shared the commiseration that day.
No,
I know that's redundant.
I was alone as usual. As I have been so many times before.
It is worth noting that I wasn't the program director at that point. But
right, you can't be blamed. You'll get a chance the next time.
No.
And I'll hold you to it.
Tim, you'll know because I'll come and sit on the same side of the desk as you and I'll put my arm around you. Tim,
give me that good belly laugh.
Tim, there's no way to say this easily, so I'm just going to say it. You're fired. Let's go get a beer. Now here's Lisa Goddard. Okay, so we'll get Lisa Goddard, and then we'll talk about this moment. I don't want to belabor this. Thank you. Thank you for helping me not belabor that. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Cheerful, perky, happy to be at work. Always with a heart full of sunshine and a smile full of kittens. It's Lisa Goddard from CNN.
I disgust myself with that intro.
Now, I'm just saying, I know that you are a ball of sunshine. You are unicorns running down rainbows. You are kittens playing with balls of string. I'm perhaps overcompensating a little bit. You were in something of a...
I'll take it. You are not the first to say I am unicorns running all over rainbows. That you probably are the first at that.
I'm just going to say there was a little bit of blackness to your mood was tinged with darkness yesterday.
Yes, yesterday was dark. Yesterday was a little dark.
So what I'm now going to do is I'm just going to stand here and let there be awkward silence while I wait to see if you will expound.
Oh, you know, it was your classic, you know, the network was pushing a story. I didn't think there was any news value in it. I was pushing a story I thought was a lot more newsworthy, and they weren't really explaining to me why. They weren't giving me any argument. They were just saying no. And I was like, what? This makes no sense. Why don't make me waste my time on
it? Now what were you more upset about, the fact that they didn't want to do the story you thought was worthwhile, or the fact that they were pushing pap on you and calling it news?
it was disappointing on both counts. But I think the real frustration was they weren't explaining to me. You know, they weren't kind of even. They were just like, okay. And then I just get a message. You will do this story. You know, no. I said, hey guys, this is what I think. And then they're like, oh, okay, thanks. And then 5 minutes later, yeah, forget. We're doing the other story.
I have to tell you that I maybe have a different perspective on that, because about 98% of what we do here is not really news in any way, and it really is just the most vacuous, pointless, intellectually devoid the time filler you could possibly imagine. So I don't have any like real standards, things, benchmarks that I have to lift up to. But I understand that there are people like you that do take that seriously. So
I get too seriously sometimes. But yeah, yesterday with this whole new Congress story, and I was trying to keep our eyes on the ball here.
No, I just got to say though. I mentioned this to Jim Roop yesterday, and I didn't go on and on about it because I didn't really have anything to go on about, but I said that there'd been some unpleasantness, I thought, between you and perhaps the higher-ups, and I said this yesterday, and this is true, I really wouldn't screw with you. You seem like a woman who could really take out the brass knuckles, journalistically speaking, and really in an intra-business sense, you really seem like a woman who could take it to the mattresses, as they say in The Godfather, pretty quickly. I don't know that I'd cross you.
You know, I feel bad because I do feel like, you know, before I know it, yeah, I'm already in people's faces, and then I'm like, oh man, maybe I'm making people even more mad. But yeah, you're right. I do when I get mad, I've got the fiery redhead thing going.
No, that's how you got to make your bones in this business. I'm not trying to tell you your job. You obviously know this, but I'm saying, you know, it's the squeaky wheel that gets the grease, and it's the in your face take no prisoners newswoman who gets ahead. So the Rick Emerson show was always behind you.
Hey, excellent. All right, I'll bring that with me next time. I'll be like, and you know who else thinks this?
that'll tip the scales in your favor, by the way. Tell me you got the mighty power of the Rick Emerson show in your corner, and all doors will open to you, and your enemies will crumble into soot. Let me ask you about President Bush and the way forward business. So now we're 36 hours, 32 hours, something from George Bush's address to the nation, and really it does seem like the sea is already roiling a little bit under this, because what are they calling it, a surge? Is that the name we've all agreed to use for this insanity of sending 30,000 more troops there?
Here's your vocabulary watch for the day. The Republicans who support the plan are going to call it surge. Those who don't like it will say escalation.
Okay. First of all, surge is a stupid word. Secondly, surge is, I mean, and I really am surprised.
Surge is a drink.
Surge is a drink, a bad drink, and a drink that was marketed stupidly by showing young men in knit caps scampering up hills of mud. So I really don't know that I would be. And surge is an unpleasant sounding word, linguistically speaking. This is just my call as a guy who uses words for a living. I am really surprised that the GOP, strictly in terms of aesthetics now and in terms of marketing, which is something the GOP are experts in what Al Reese and Jack Trout would call the hook spin buzz, you know, the real positioning of these things. And surge is Sarah, unpleasant word, kind of gives you an icky feeling.
It doesn't really bother me.
Really? All right. Well, maybe not then. Maybe it's just me. It doesn't really seem, it seems a little flip is what I guess what I'm trying to say. It sounds a little too much like an edgy term for just sending a bunch of the you know, kids off there to be shot at.
Flux capacitor.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem, I mean, is there any sense what the public is going to say or do or feel or what the reaction is going to be in response to this?
You know, you are the captain of public opinion, Rick. We're waiting to hear from you, but,
yeah.
Honestly, actually, what's interesting is Ted Kennedy is now throwing it down today. He is actually, a lot of people on the Hill are saying they oppose this, including some Republicans,
Gordon Smith.
More than a few, exactly, are saying that they have a problem with the escalation surge idea. And now Ted Kennedy is proposing a bill to go through Congress that would say the president must get congressional approval before increasing the troop levels in Iraq. Now, there's a bunch of questions on that. Can they pass it fast enough to affect decisions that may be going in place immediately? And then second of all, there's a lot of questions of interpretation. This president is known for writing those signing statements that interpret, or some would say reinterpret, create, or however you want to look at it, what how he's going to react to that law, how he's going to enforce it, what he's getting out of it. And some people say that completely changes congressional intent. So there's a lot of questions on whether Congress can have any effect, and at the same time, Democrats are looking at potentially not changing. They don't want to mess with the troops in Iraq now. They know that that is politically infeasible. They can't do it, and a lot of people, there'd be an outcry if they cut the funding for the troops there now. But they're looking at possible ways of maybe cutting funding for any increase. Of course, the Pentagon is sort of a shell game. They can move all kinds of money around, so it's not clear they can do that either.
Does the Congress have, and I think I know the answer to this already, as you said, the Congress controls the purse strings, but everybody knows, as Leonard Cohen would say, that you can't cut the money to them, and I don't think anybody would want to, because that's just, it's wrong politically, it's wrong morally, it's wrong on every level. My question is, does the Congress have any real authority to just put Bush in some sort of hammerlock and just say, it's done, we're bringing people home?
That's all they have. And you know, they used the purse strings in Vietnam, and it was very blunt. You know, it's a very hard cut, and it affects the military across the board, and it's a very dramatic step, and the Democrats don't want to do it. They're hoping that the president is expected to propose a supplemental appropriations. He's been doing this every year for the military, and that they're expecting the president would do that for the troop increase, and they're wondering if they can't either not approve that or approve less money than he's asking. But then the president can say, well, I don't care. I'm sending the troops anyway. And the fact is, you just didn't fund them.
Do you get...
Right, so it's very difficult. Very difficult for Congress to step through this.
I don't want to put you in an awkward position, but do you just get the feeling most of the time, and I know I'm like the 9 millionth guy to say this, that George W. Bush is just sort of under the impression that he is accountable to no one? I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. I was talking to somebody, this was talking to a Republican the other day, and we were talking about that phrase, that god-awful phrase that George Bush started spitting out at the end of last year, which is when he was saying, I'm the decider. And you know what? I can't imagine any other president, I can't imagine Ronald Reagan even saying that. The phrase, I'm the decider, is just laden with so much hubris and just so much unbelievable, I mean, the narcissism and blindness contained within that statement are just staggering and stupefying to me. And it does really seem like he's a guy who no longer is, I mean, it's not even that he doesn't care what the left thinks, he doesn't even care what his own base thinks anymore. And he really, there are times when I really think he does go sit in a tower somewhere, you know, and he puts on a hat made out of tinfoil and melon rind, and he waits for messages to come from God, because clearly he believes that he is not accountable to anybody, either politically, morally, in any terms of the electorate. And I'm not asking you to affirm that, obviously, because you wouldn't do that, but...
call him names, right.
It doesn't really seem that he believes... It does seem that he believes that he is the definitive final arbiter of all of this.
Well, the funny thing is, on one level, he really is not very accountable at all to anyone anymore, because he, you know, unless there is a, you know, dramatic investigation, something we don't know about him, he will be in office until the end of his term, and he's not running again. So he's lame duck on one hand, but on the other hand, he's got nothing to lose. But I think with George Bush, the issue is he thinks he must do what's right and not necessarily what the country wants. Now, that goes from issue to issue. On some issues, clearly, he's looking at the polling and he's going with the polling. But I think on Iraq, there's a real sense of doing kind of the moral and godly thing. Now, that's what Republicans would say about the president. That's how they see him. Others, I think like you, would say, no, this is a man who doesn't understand that his power is given to him by the people, and he doesn't take that seriously enough, that he is arrogant, a lot of people would say, and that's what you're saying. So I don't know the answer.
It reminds me of those stories used to hear as though I was around, but those stories you hear about Caligula where he would just kind of go off in some sort of antechamber and he was talking to Bacchus, you know? It's just, where's Caligula? You know, where's it? Well, he's off and he's talking to Mars, the god of war, you know? And he was just off there communing with deeties because that's what he did.
See, now you're getting into incest. You're getting into all kinds of problems with Caligula.
Don't even get me started on Caligula. I can go all day on Caligula, sister. You don't even want to know. All right. Well, you know what?
I do have awkward soundbite of the day.
I don't think
anyone else will hear in the country.
Fantastic.
Is that good? Yes. This was bizarre. It was actually bizarre news bite of the day. This is Mayor of New York, Michael Bloomberg, speaking in a committee hearing that I just happened to be listening in today, talking about Homeland Security. And here's what he says when he became mayor, how he would contact someone if there was an emergency. So here's what he said.
All right.
I was given a very important secure phone, which is in the kitchen of my house, so that if I want to talk to the Air National Guard and shoot down a plane, I just push a button. We get lots of calls, people selling insurance and everything else over that same phone.
That's fantastic.
Isn't that great? I had to play that for you.
That's gold. I mean, that's Strange Lovian. I mean, that really is like some sort of sitcom mix-up from hell just waiting to happen. You know what I mean? It's like the end of the Land of Confusion video where the nuke and nurse buttons are right next to each other by the hospital bed.
Exactly.
That's one heck of a nurse. Oh, it's fantastic. Lisa got it. All right, see, there you go. See, that's the rainbow and sunshine we were waiting for, Lisa. All right, enjoy the rest of your day. We will speak to you very soon.
All right, you too.
There you go. Lisa got it, ladies and gentlemen, on the Hill. Fantastic. That's great. I love it.
That's creepy.
It's creepy, but God love Lisa Goddard. And she and I tossed like the Caligula reference, bam, and she gave it right back.
I'm talking about
it. How often do you hear that? Huh? How do you see CNN people talking about Caligula?
That doesn't happen very often.
Sons of bitches. All right. Okay.
Are we going to read the email now?
Yeah. In fact, let's see. We'll have Tim Riley. I think Tim is back at his prep. If Tim wants to join us here in the studio, we'll read this email. This item that we have been sent from our former employers at Entercom, and then we'll take a break and we'll do the noon news hour. Let's see, I've got this. I should read this. We've got this is from our friend Kristen, who works here and has filled in for Sarah on a couple of occasions, who I believe used to work at Entercom.
Subject line?
Kissing. Rick, that is how... And I was talking about the kissing event where there was just like the one sad, lonely promo vehicle in the middle of an empty parking lot with like an old guy sort of wheezing his way through the photo. She said, yeah, seriously, I can't have sugar. I don't know. It hurts when I pee. She says, this is how every kissing event has been. I worked in their promo department for months, and all that appeared at those events was one old guy who drove a truck crammed full of trash. And the crew playing putt-putt golf to pass the time at a car toys. Not even the car toy staff wished for free stuff. And this was on FM. Signed, It's a Pity. There you go.
Ben. Greg and I had to do a remote one time.
Power of kissing.
And almost in Gresham at some cell phone store.
Yeah.
It was the worst thing ever.
Oh,
just
God.
Sitting out there in a tent and nobody knows who you are.
You need to put on the cell phone suit and wave a sign.
No,
5% off.
Oh, I've been at those. I mean, we've all...
Oh, yeah.
We've all done those. You've only done a handful of them. See,
I've only done a few, but they've been pretty embarrassing.
That's the great... that is the great and sad thing about your life, is that the great and sad thing is... The sad thing is you don't have...
I got to introduce Social Distortion on stage.
See, that's the thing about your career, is that, like, you did kind of cut ahead in line, and I don't say that disparagingly. I mean, everybody tries to, and not everybody succeeds. You, sadly, don't have a lot of the horrible stories to tell. You got
some. Never had records melt in the hot sun.
That's what I'm saying.
As you're playing in
the great
summertime.
Thing is, you got to go right to some of the really cool stuff, and you miss some of the really horrifying experiences. You've had your share, but you miss some of the really, I've had that happen, too.
Granted, you still have things that don't work.
Yeah.
To a different degree.
No, you have phones. Yeah, you have phones that don't operate correctly.
It'll always be that way.
God, you've never had to do like a, you've never had to do not just a remote, not like a Saturday appearance, not like a, hey, it's Saturday and I'm down at Crazy Eddie's Gymnasium.
Oh.
Not that I've had to do those. Like when I was at a top 40 jock, just sitting there, just people who come in, they don't know who you are. They're just there to, you know, they're there to come in to buy a soda. And you just happen to be, hi there, can I, hello? Can you, and then,
at one of the appearances, Greg and I were there, and there was the Harlem Globetrotter there, too. And everyone just ignored us and ran for the Harlem Globetrotter.
Oh, that's the worst part. That's the worst, is when you are at a radio station and you're at a remote, and you are you're a distraction from the thing that they really want to see there. I've totally been that.
And they always think you're from another radio station.
Exactly.
It's never the radio station that you're working at that they think you're from.
That is exactly what I was going to say. I cannot tell you how many times that I have done that. I've been in the city, and especially like back in the, you know, like 10, 12 years ago, before this kind of talk radio, so-called hot talk and whatever you could, you know, sort of the pop culture talk radio, before that took off, when it was all like just bad, like Rush Limbaugh, whatever. Before talk radio kind of took off, being there, and I'm, you know, doing, you know, kind of a young, edgy kind of talk show, and, you know, you want to think that people are listening and into you or whatever. And so I'm there, and I'm at some drapery store, and, you know, I'm there with, like, the table and the promotions. People have put, like, a banner around, like, a table skirt, and there's a big pile of stickers. And you get, like, you know, some, like, you know, some, like, hot 19-year-old girl that she comes up, she's like, oh, hey, is this, are you from Z93? No. Do you know those guys? That's always the next question, too. It's always like, do you know the DJ that I'm really interested in seeing? Yeah. And you're always, he works across the hall. Could you get his autograph for me? And it's, I wish I was dead. Please kill me. Anywho, so.
Also, a lot of times people say, go to such and such and find blah, 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 blah. They'll take care of you. Then when you get there, oh, I canceled that remote last week.
Totally. Or you just show up and there's like some weekend employee there that doesn't know how to set anything up. And you're out there trying to rig like a 30-foot inflatable in a tent by yourself in the wind.
You never want to go somewhere where you've been told that somebody will take care of you when you get there.
No. They'll meet you there. Well, but it's, I don't know where this place is. No. You can't miss it. And there should be a guy there to let you in. And then you get there.
It does open for 3 more hours.
5:30 in the morning. It's 20 degrees outside. It's pitch black. And
the lights are up in the parking lot.
and you're at a Bi-Mart in Tannisbourne. Yeah.
Well, I was at one and nobody was coming.
Nobody goes to those.
He was trying to persuade people to come, so he went to the Safeway and bought a bunch of cookies and stuck them on our table so that people would come and stop and talk to us.
Sad. All right, so this says, and I will just read some choice segments from this. It is sort of a difficult thing to read. Again, I'm not going to read all of it because, as always happens with this obscene kind of mismanagement, that it's always the jocks who take it in the shorts. Always.
I don't think there are any left.
Always. No. Well, there were.
Oh, were.
Yeah, there were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's always the air talent who take it in the pants with all of
but
these.
But then again, they've been employed this entire time when we were not.
They might get a week's severance.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's a fair point, actually, that
they were employed that entire time.
They have continuous employment as opposed to
they
some of us.
They had someplace to go that Friday.
It was our studio.
Yep.
That's a really fair point, actually. Not that I don't feel bad, because I do, because radio colleagues and brethren and so forth, but that is actually a fair point, and I won't use their names. But the people who were let go, that is, and I don't say this with any rancor, because it's not, you know, whatever, you go wherever the microphone is. But the people who were asked to leave the building are the people who took our studio, because it was a whole lot of like, we're going to be putting this hideous Charlie station here, and so they're not gone yet, but down the hall you're going to see a door labeled Tim Riley. Now that sign will be gone.
I never get a sign.
Do you see that sign that says Rick Emerson Show? Okay, well, yeah, you can just take that down. No, he's in the office right now. No, they're letting him know right now. Well, he probably has some stuff in there, but just stick that in the box. So, no, you go, that's going to be your room from now on. No, if he's got any pens, you can have those. So, these people who were asked to leave are the people who for the last year, were broadcasting out of the studio that we used to have.
Okay.
No. So,
Do you feel more at peace with it now?
No, it's less stuff to move when they have to move the building. If that happens.
It's less stuff to move when everyone is evicted out of that building later this year. Anyway. I'm just going to seize.
I'm so bitter. I'm sorry, Squid.
I'm just going to seize on this one statement, where our good friend, the same good friend who described the Rick Emerson Show's audience as being tiny,
She's still there.
Oh, I know she's there because her name is on this.
You're kidding me.
Oh, God.
When she says...
How did she get... Well, we know.
When she says about kissing... Unfortunately, we just couldn't find a way to keep the station from losing money. Yes, that is unfortunate. Well, into each life some rain must fall. That really is the money shot there in that...
We don't even get the email?
Here's the thing about the rest of the email. The rest of the email is a whole lot of like, and so we're going to bid a fond farewell to these air personalities who will receive, undoubtedly lackluster severance.
These boxes of candy.
A box of station T-shirts. I'll give them. And because the rest of the memo is a whole lot of like, and so our company's going to look really hard for a position for these two talented broadcasters, and hopefully we'll be able to bring them back into the building and keep them on the team, which never happens.
So what are they doing? Are they just selling the station?
I don't think they've said that publicly quite yet. I think what's going to be on right now is... That's gonna be the same robotic voice track to crap that apparently it's been. So that really the key sentence there is that unfortunately we just couldn't find a way to keep the station from losing money. So of course the way that they always find is just to fire the air talent. That's really it. That is the surefire way to keep any station from losing money. Just make sure that there are no actual live human beings broadcasting anywhere. That always works out really well for you. So. Yes, sir.
Wait, who were the... Never mind, I can't remember. I thought some jocks were moving over to Kissin, but I think that might have been a different station.
No.
I don't believe so.
No.
Rick, do you realize that in one call you said all of the below to Lisa Goddard? Quote, screw with you. Quote, take it to the mattresses. Quote, make your bones. Quote, in your face. Quote, I can go all day in Caligula. And quote, the Rick Emerson Show is always behind you, Lisa Goddard. Thank you. Look at that. There you go. That's underscoring the punchline, Sarah. That's what that is. Thank you. Oh, good God. All right. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're back after this. Here's Jim Simon.